Our first public hearing is conditional use 1669 David A. Peterson.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for auto restoration to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 2.223 acres, more or less, lying northeast of Woods Lane, which is a private road, 411.5 feet southeast of Route 9 and being 1,600 feet southwest of Route 474, also known as Duke's Lumber Road. For the benefit of the record, I've passed down copies of the site plan for this application to the commissioners. The site plan shows the existing house and two garages on the property and a proposed parking scheme. That is a part of the record. For the benefit of agency comments, we received three agency comments to date, first one being from the Department of Transportation. It is in the form of a support facilities report. It was dated September 28th of 2005. It makes reference to the AR1 zoning and proposed conditional use. A traffic impact study was not recommended. The present level service C of Route 9 will not change as a result of this application. From the Sussex Conservation District in the form of a memorandum and dated October 26th and received on November 13th. We are advised that the soils are mapped to be Eastboro Loamy Sand, Falsington Sandy Loam, and Rumford Loamy Sand. The Eastboro soils and the Rumford soils have slight limitations for development purposes. The Falsington soil has severe limitations. The applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during any construction and to maintain vegetation. All three soil types are considered of statewide importance. The Falsington is also considered prime farmland. There are no storm flood hazard areas affected. It may be necessary for both off-site and on-site drainage improvements due to the presence of soils with a seasonal high water table and or ponding. The Duke's Job's tax ditch may be affected, and there may be regulated wetlands on site, and the applicant would be necessary to secure permits from the Army Corps of Engineers if wetlands are found. Attached to that memorandum is a copy of an aerial infrared showing the site and also a copy of soil survey map number 49 showing the site. From the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, they provided comments we received today making reference to the site, the application, the case number, the proposed use, the size of the parcel. The project is in a located within the Western Sussex Planning Area, number 4 study area. Conformity to the Western Sussex Planning Area study would be required. The engineering department is currently conducting a planning study to assess the future sewer needs to Western Sussex County, and this study is scheduled for completion by August 2007, and a concept plan for this application is not required. And that was signed by John J. Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. And lastly, I received a letter, a memo type letter from Minnie R. Culver. States, I am not in agreement with David Peterson's proposal to commence an auto restoration business in Broad Creek 100 area of Sussex County. The current access road was developed by the homeowner residing on the adjoining property and is not intended to be used for business purposes. As an elderly widow, I am opposed to the noise and traffic that the business would produce. Sincerely, Minnie R. Culver. And gentlemen, that's all I have. Unless you have questions.
All right, sir, thank you. Is there anyone here representing this application this evening? All right, sir, if you'd come up and give us your name and address.
My name is David Peterson. I live at 28327 Woods Lane, Laurel, Delaware, 19956.
All right, sir, you heard what our director has read into the record regarding your application. Do you have anything you wish to add?
As far as Mrs. Culvert, her complaint, the traffic is not going to change. It's like day-to-day driving back and forth through the driveway. The vehicles are normally picked up because they aren't able to drive. And I put them on a trailer, run them back there, and I would restore them. sheet metal and all that and everything, and then return them back to the owners by trailer. There would be no actually noise of cars going back and forth on a continuous basis.
All right, sir. Is there anything else you wish to add?
It's just an opportunity for me to advance my skills and work at home and probably teach my son a trade as well.
All right, sir. Well, we'll see if anybody on the commission has any questions for you. Mr. Gordy.
Yes, Mr. Peterson. How many would you say vehicles you would do maybe a week?
Oh, the restoration aspect of this business is long-term. You would get a vehicle. My facilities is only capable of holding like 3 or 4. And that would be, you would work on those 3 or 4 until they are finished before you accept any other.
Accept anything else. Okay. So you're not intending of displaying any completed vehicles in front of the property?
No, sir. Only at car shows.
Okay. So you'll be doing it by yourself, or do you have somebody working with you?
I'm hoping to get my younger son, yes.
Yeah, but nobody?
No, nobody else, just me.
All right. And what, as far as deliveries, what type of deliveries would you receive? Deliveries?
I mean,
sheet metal and parts and
ups,
that?
Ups, FedEx. You know, they would come just like, you know, they would come to your house for a parcel that you would purchase from a catalog. Most everything is done online, and then they deliver. And it would also help for me to be there when the deliveries come so that, you know, if a delivery is wrong, I could send it back.
What hours of operation are you looking at?
Like 8 to 5.
8 to 5.
Monday through Friday.
No Saturday hours?
If I can do it full time, I will do Saturday and Sunday. It would be family time.
So you're not looking to work on Saturdays and Sundays?
No, sir.
So, you say you go pick the cars up, nobody delivers them to you, you pick them up yourself?
Well, sometimes if they're drivable, or they're tagged or whatever, and they bring them in and they want like a rocker panel replaced or cab corner or something like that, they would drive them up, and then they would leave them there until it was repaired.
So do you do engine work and all that too? Or
no, sir.
Just
I do that during the day.
Okay, so just body work?
Yes, sir.
That's all the questions I have right now.
All right, sir. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Had you explored any other properties than this home residence to try to run your business from? Any other available light industrial type
no,
areas?
No.
You looked at this as a matter of convenience, I guess, and
yeah.
Economy for you? Okay. Curious, are you aware, are there any other sites that would be close to you that possible for lease?
There was at one time, but the lease was really high.
Yeah.
You'd have to really turn out a lot of work. And being that I, you know, own, that it would be more convenient for me to run it from my household. You know, I mean, from a garage in the back that I had built and everything is there according to the plan that's been drawn up.
I'm tired.
And they show like 7 car parking, but that's not a option that would happen.
I noticed when I went by the site, it did look like this possibly could impact at least a half dozen other properties. Your plans are to be a good neighbor. You felt that you've had those good relations.
Yes, I've, you know, let everybody voice their opinion, and if they got any concerns or whatever, we'll try to get them corrected, you know, the best that we can, and hope that it will go through.
One last question, sir. How about provision for waste product, maybe any chemical solvents? And
I've looked into that on Safety Clean. They would have, they got approved container for, like, any solvents or anything that would be used. I have a bin for my rags and towels and everything that I dispose of through the landfill. Sheet metal products and everything, I have an area where I put those until I get enough to take to the Seaford Salvage. So so that it's disposed of like in a timely fashion. I try not to let it go for more than like a month or so. And then, you know, like, it's mostly rusty sheet metal that you cut out, and then you just dispose of it through the junkyard system.
You bring up one last question. I promise just one. But with the cutting and the torches, does danger fire alarm you at all?
Yes, I have fire extinguishers in my shop.
Thank you. That's all, sir.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Johnson.
Are you currently doing work at your house now?
Yes.
And what efforts have you made to comply with EPA in terms of air infiltration? And because I'm assuming you have a paint booth or?
I have an area where I prime the vehicles, yes.
And what about final painting? Do you do it there?
I try not to, but I got a shop in Bridgeville that a guy has that we can do final painting in.
So you're basically doing the prep work?
You're doing sheet metal repair as far as the customer wants to go. And if they want it completed, then we'll take, you know, make arrangements to have it painted elsewhere.
Okay. I have no further questions.
All right, sir. Mr. Burton?
So there'll be no paint material on site?
There'll be primer and your normal solvents to clean metal.
Okay. Where's the bin for the metal? Is it inside?
No, it's outside.
Is it behind the garage?
It's alongside the garage.
What about the road maintenance? Who takes care of that?
For years, I took care of it. And then when the property purchased behind me, I guess it was some kind of a stipulation in their deed or something to maintain or something on the road. When I was the only one back there, that was my job. To maintain the road, and as far as I know, if you know we need to add stuff to it or we need to go together to make it better, you know, they just contact one another and we try to.
Okay. No further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Lang.
Your application, is that on by? Did you apply on your own choice or was there a violation for?
No violation, no sir.
No violation.
I did it to make sure that I did it out by the book.
That's all I have.
All right, sir. Mr. Counts?
I'd just like to pick up on some concerns that I think I've heard from members of the commission. In my research about the property, there's an excellent recharge area on the front of the property, and I think, as we heard from the conservation district, there's wetlands to the back. With the use of petroleum products and other chemicals, there's possible degradation of both those areas, the excellent recharge area or the wetlands. So if this were approved, I would suggest that there's some kind of the applicant be required to take some kind of measures to make sure that those kinds of products and chemicals are controlled and that there's no pollution and degradation of the recharge area as one of the conditions. That's all.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Robertson.
No questions.
Mr. Abbott.
No questions.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
Well, we appreciate your being with us. If you would kindly take a seat for a moment, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use 1669 David A. Peterson? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition of conditional use 1669? Yes, sir. If you would come up and give us your name and address and tell us what's on your mind.
Lived with Dave or near Dave for a couple years, and he's a good neighbor, and I just have some concerns.
All right, tell us what they are. We'll see if we can get them answered for you.
All right, my name is Scott Hevner. My wife and I purchased a 33-acre parcel, 28471 Woods Lane, in 1998. This parcel includes in fee the 50-foot private road that runs from my property to Route 9. And then I included a picture of the tax map and a copy of my deed. I also purchased a 5-acre unimproved parcel in 2006 that borders the south property line of the parcel in question, as well as the private road. Bordering the east side of the private road are the 5-acre parcel that I own, the 2-acre parcel that's being considered for conditional use, another 2-acre parcel that's unimproved, and a parcel owned by Tim and Chris Pianca. Bordering the west side of the private road is a 5-acre parcel owned by Sam Cucianata. Prior to me purchasing the 32-acre parcel or the 5-acre parcel, the owners of the 5-acre parcel, the owners of the 2-acre parcel, which is Dave, and the owners of the other 2-acre unimproved parcel, drafted and signed a maintenance agreement concerning the private road. They agreed to split the cost of maintaining the private road. This maintenance agreement, however, does not address the fact that the private road belongs to the owner of the 32-acre parcel, 33 acres. I had Tim Willard of Farquhar and Yorey research the history of this document and the adjacent deeds. He cannot find anything in the recorder of deeds that grants access from the properties bordering the private road. Now, I'm not here to talk about the legalities of access. Obviously, Dave has access to his property, and don't want to argue that. But since I own the road, I thought that I would be considered in the decision, or I wanted to make sure that it is considered in the decision made here tonight. I have a few concerns about granting conditional use for auto restoration to this 2-acre parcel. First, I want to make it part of public record, and this is my biggest concern, really, that I do not want a sign advertising the business placed at the end of the private road, up at Route 9. Obviously, if he wants to put a sign on his property, that's fine with me. I just don't want one placed at the end of the private road.
You own the road, right?
I own the road, correct.
I don't think he's put a sign on your property unless you let him.
Well, I just wanted to make sure.
Okay.
I also did not want vehicles placed for sale on the private road up at Route 9 without my permission. And I just wanted to make sure of that. I have a concern about traffic on the private road. Currently, the road, as Dave said, it's constructed of fill, dirt, and stone. The road needs to be frequently graded to keep up with potholes. I am concerned about the increase in traffic that will cause the road to need more maintenance than current, and I'm also concerned about the entrance from the private road to Route 9 being able to handle an increase of traffic going from the private road to Route 9. That's the biggest concern. The other concerns I have are just which I think anyone would have, and that's the impact an automotive restoration business would have on property values. I'm sure the impact would be proportional to how the business was presented. At current, I'm just concerned that the number of vehicles stored on the property would negatively affect property values. In the past, I know this committee has granted conditional use based upon restrictions, and some examples, as you know, are there will not be any outside storage of junked vehicles, automobile parts, equipment, tires, or other materials used to repair cars. No vehicles for sale will be displayed on the premises. Obviously, if it's a personal vehicle, if Dave wants to sell his truck, I mean, if he puts a for sale sign, I'm just talking about 5 or 6 vehicles lined up across the front of the property with for sale signs. I'm against that. And I'm not saying that would happen, but that's a concern. You asked for a fence to be installed to shield the business, and you also have asked for trash dumpsters on site to be screened from neighboring properties. Now, currently, the 5-acre parcel that I own is unimproved and it is wooded. But my concern is if I decided to clear this parcel and build a home, I'm concerned about the value being negatively affected due to the storage and display of vehicles, potential environmental impact issues, paint fumes, and potential fire hazards. And hopefully those issues could be addressed. And I definitely can respect the effort of Mr. Peterson, Dave, to to want to establish and operate a business out of his home. I just hope that he and the Planning and Zoning Committee can respect the opinions and concerns that I have with an auto restoration business being adjacent to an existing residential and ag community. I hope that you take the concerns presented here tonight and the questions regarding the use of the private road that I own into consideration before you make your decision. That's all I have.
Well, all right, sir. Thank you.
Thanks.
Would you like to introduce your statement into the record?
Yeah. We want this?
Yeah, that's just keep, makes it easier for me. Thanks. I'll try and keep up.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Okay, sir. Come on.
Good evening. My name is Tim Pianca, and I'd like to thank this commission for the opportunity to speak on this proposal. I don't know if I'm here to oppose this, but at this time, I just can't support it. I had unanswered questions when I come here. Dave has answered some of the questions, so now I guess I'm looking for assurances. I live at 12848 County Seat Highway. My home is situated directly on Route 9, on the south side of Route 9. Approximately 300 feet is behind me is the Petersons' property line. The access road to get to the Petersons and the Hibners runs parallel to the west line of my property, 200 feet to be exact. I purchased the land in 1986. My wife and I built our home in 1991, and we've lived there with our 13-year-old son since. Like I said, I'm not here to oppose this proposal. The Petersons have always been good neighbors, and I wouldn't want to impede on his right to a vigorous livelihood. However, without the assurances, I'm not necessarily here to support it neither. The four major concerns for me and my family are as follows. The entrance and the exit off and on to Route 9. What road work, if any, would have to take place for a safe entrance exit, bearing in mind the types of vehicles that I thought would likely come to this business, such as tow trucks, delivery trucks, panel, and semis. And the access road to the business itself, what would need to be done to the access road to make it an acceptable access? For instance, would the road need widening? If it does, which direction, you know, would that take place? Storm drains, paving. If so, what effect would this have on my property? And who would be responsible for the upgrade and upkeep of this road? Third is the chemicals that's used in the restoration process, which I don't know what chemicals are used. That is a concern of mine. Who is responsible from the state side of overseeing the safe handling as well as the proper disposal of the chemicals used? And what, if any, are the environmental effects from the chemicals used? Unpleasant odors from the restoration process and airborne. Will there be any airborne, and if so, what health risks do they pose? And I guess last, I just have to ask if this is the right place for this type of business. Can the business be viable while remaining somewhat hidden off of Route 9, though it is a major route? And while I know this may not be your concern, I certainly encourage all parties to look at it, including Mr. Peterson and Mr. Hevner and myself in the neighborhood. And that's all I have.
I'd like all to right, sir. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition?
Thanks.
Okay. Mr. Peterson, would you mind coming back up here for a second? We'll see if we can't get a few of these questions answered. Let's see, the issue regarding the shared driveway, do you have any intention of attempting to erect a sign or display cars there?
No, sir. My business is to restore cars for customers that already own cars that want them restored to their original condition, is what basically what mine would be.
Okay.
It's not to go out and buy a car, restore it, and put it out for sale somewhere. These are customer-owned cars that belong to somebody that is paying to have them restored.
Okay. And do you, does the absence of public visibility affect your business?
No, sir. most of it would be done by word of mouth. If you put out a good product, they'll let you know, and they'll contact you by phone.
Okay. Odors and fumes were mentioned. Can you address that? Do any of your processes create?
In any type of chemical atmosphere, you're going to have an odor. I mean, if you put weed killer on your yard, you're going to have an odor.
Are you currently doing this work now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You guys smell anything now?
I personally, I don't.
Okay.
My side, I do not.
All right, then. The environmental hazards in regard to chemicals, I believe someone, Mr. Smith, I think it was, asked about.
The containers that I use right now are OSHA complied. They're one container, and then it has another container inside that container in case of spillage.
And it's disposed of off-site, somebody comes and gets
yes.
it all the way?
Okay. I'm going to set up for Safety Clean to come, mm-hmm. and they could normally come like in a pickup,
okay.
and they'll pick up the container and drop off a new container and be on their way.
Okay. If the commission sees fit to recommend an approval, and if council actually approves it, you will be required to go through a site plan review, which means you will be involved to run this by our friends at DelDOT. I think there is some concern over the what kind of improvements might be required, if any, and who's going to pay for them. Would you like to address that?
I mean, the vehicles that are going to come in there will probably be long term.
Mm-hmm.
They'll probably be there 3 to 4, 5 months, maybe a year. So the traffic, I believe, is not going to go.
I don't think it's the traffic that they were asking about specifically in that instance. I think their concern is, from what I heard them testify to, is that there may be improvements to the entrance, widening, paving, culvert put in, something of that nature.
As Scott said, that it's supposed to be a 50-foot right-of-way.
I understand that, and I don't think the issue is whether or not the land's there. There's a 50-foot easement there, so
yes.
So yes, there's plenty of room to do whatever they would want you to do. Question is, who's going to pay for it? That's what I think they want to know.
I need to know what they want, the whole thing paved from start to finish?
Well, it doesn't mean that you have to do it. If you find out that your project's not feasible financially, you don't have to go ahead and do it. But I think you understand the question they're asking you.
Yeah.
Is if your desire to do what you want to do causes money to have to be spent on the driveway,
do
who's going
takes.
To pay for it?
I'll do what it takes.
Okay, I suspect that that's the right answer. But, that I believe were all the concerns that I heard the two gentlemen voice. You may take a seat. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We invite you to remain with us for the rest of your Thursday evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to just call the office in the morning.